Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Broadcasting from the Shaw's Star Market Studios, the home of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier, afternoons 2 to 6. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, oradio.com sports station. NFL Sunday on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zuti, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
For Tom Brady, you could say this, that as he sits there in his, you know, mansion down in Tampa, this is the most important game of his NFL, not even NFL, but his football career.
That's you, huh, kid?
That is me.
That is Jay Wiggs. Gary Tagway and Keith here. Fourier, I just taking the day off because he's a big shot. NFL Sunday here on Sports Radio WEEI 617-779-7937. Some of the things we've covered today, to me, by watching the team so far in the postseason, it just goes to show how bad the Patriots are and how far they have to go to being relevant again in the NFL. I mean, they got a lot of work ahead. We talked about Darnold. Do you want Darnold to make a deal for him? Do you get Mac Jones? Can you get Deshaun Watson out of Houston? Tom Curran joins us at 1 o'clock. We'll revisit some of those issues with him. But now we're going to turn to the Bucs, and we're going to turn to Tom Brady, which, you know, I'm rooting like hell for him. Bradford the other day is like, I hate Tom Brady. He's not one of us, which I believe he isn't one of us. I agree with that. But he went to Florida. You know, he made the comments about the Northeast. I am rooting like hell for Tom Brady. How in the hell can you not root for Brady? I don't understand that.
I'm rooting for Brady to do well, but I don't want to see the Bucs win.
Why?
Because why do I want to see a guy that I invested 20 years in that still could play, that I know still should be on this organization, and then him go down there and then play well and win, and I'm thinking, man, we could have still had him.
So you're a jilted lover.
Yes. We could still have this guy.
So blame Bill.
I do blame Bill.
Yeah, I mean, we agree with
that. That's why I said I want to see him personally do well, but I don't want to see the Bucks win.
I mean, listen, the one thing about the playoffs that has been tremendous is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you want to talk about a freaking, what a gem. I mean, obviously he's got the players around him. Mm-hmm. He got motivated because they drafted Love. But to watch him was just, it's flipping orgasmic. Same thing with Brady. I mean, watching Brady play quarterback in Tampa in that one game, I know it was Washington, you know, Tampa could have played better. I mean, it was phenomenal to watch these two guys play.
Yeah, but I'm a Pats fan, Gary.
Yeah, but okay. All right, just lighten up, Francis. Jesus.
I'm not lighting up. I'm a Pats fan. Are you a Celtics fan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so do you like to see, you know,
Who are we going with? Yeah, there's nobody out there. Who we got? Hey, when AC, who are we going
to
go
with? Would you have liked to see Bird go to another team?
Well, no, but he didn't, dude.
I know. That's the comparison that I'm trying to make.
Yeah, the closest comparison you have would be Paul Pierce going to the Nets.
Yeah, but he was, and it was over. I mean, no.
Yeah, but exactly.
Did it bother me? No. It didn't bother me because Danny made a good deal. It hasn't paid off.
Right, but
he made the right deal.
Right, but that I think that's different. Brady still had plenty of gas left in the tank. And so when you see him go down there and you see him have a great year, throws 40 touchdowns, you know what? I'm extremely happy
for him. Tom Brady saved football in New England. So I'm rooting like hell for him.
What do you mean by that?
He saved football in New England. The Patriots, I hate to tell you this, mm-hmm. folks, you know, and especially for all the pink hat wearing, season ticket holding, you know, people who decided to show up at Foxborough in like 1999 or 2000 or 2001. You know, but the Patriots were probably the fourth most popular team,
mm-hmm.
right? Before the Brady, Bledsoe gave him a blip.
Right.
All right, I understand that. But it wasn't even close. Brady, I'm not even going to say saved football, made football in New England. Jermaine, you played at Georgia. You know.
Right.
New England's not a football area.
Right.
It's not. Right? Brady made this a football
area.
All
right, I agree with
you. So how can you look at, he gave us jobs. Dude, the impact that Brady had on the economy in this area when it comes to sports, it's immeasurable. The ratings on sports radio went up. The television ratings went up. Football shows are everywhere. Sponsorships are flying everywhere. And now you're going to see that that's going to change. I got love for Brady. I'm rooting like hell. I don't think he's getting to the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
but I'm rooting like hell for him.
Yeah,
like, I don't get it. Why all the hate for Brady?
Well, I don't know. I think that it's not really hate. I think that people know that they look at the, at least the way I look at it is like, he should be here.
There's right? no doubt. There's
and
no
I know,
doubt.
And I know Bill dropped the ball on that one. And so for me, when I see him doing well and his team doing well, and now I look and go, wait a second, that could have been our quarterback. That all that, you know, Tampa Bay happiness and, you know, people running around, jumping on cars and celebrating, that should be us. Because Brady should be here, and then you could easily add in one or two pieces, and this team would be where they needed to be.
You know something? I think you need more than one or two pieces.
Nah, with Brady, if you put, you know, a decent tight end and a decent number one receiver around him, I mean, this team went 12-4 last year with nobody.
Well, how about this? And I was having a conversation with myself. The argument about is it Brady or is it Belichick? I mean, it's over.
No, see, I read your column. And I completely disagreed with what you were saying when you said that. And that's why.
By the way, I sided with Brady, just so everybody knows. You can read it at WEEI.com.
And that's why I had said this, because you were like, even if Brady loses this week, the it's over. It's over and done with. You know, he's won the debate of whether it was Bill or Tom. And I disagree with you. Because, and that's why I said that I think that when you look at this game, this is Brady's biggest game of his career. Because he no longer can look to the sideline and go, all right, Bill Belichick's right over there. So now when people are like, oh, you're out of your mind. He played in 9 Super Bowls. Yeah, I understand that. But he's never played in a game of this magnitude without Bill Belichick, knowing that all this is on the line. Because if he loses this game, the narrative is going to be he couldn't do it without Belichick.
See, I think he can. I think it's already sealed. I mean, look at the way he played. I know it was Washington. So, look at the way he's played
right,
in Tampa.
So this is the argument that Curtis and I always get into. At the beginning of the season, when Brady went to Tampa Bay and had that talent around him and put that team together, right. What were your expectations for that football team?
Oh, I mean, I expected them to perform better than they did.
No. Where were your expectations on where they were going to go in the playoffs? Did you have them at just winning one playoff game?
No.
Did you have them at least get into the NFC Championship game?
Yes.
Okay. So if I have them going to the Super Bowl. If they don't get to the NFC Championship game, this is a major fail for Tom Brady
If they lose to New Orleans, really?
Yes. Because you had them to get into the NFC Championship
game. It's not like they're going to be upset by Washington. I mean,
No. But it doesn't matter.
No shame in losing to Drew Brees.
But you built the super team. You built the super team. Then you added Antonio Brown. You added Rob Gronkowski. So going into this, and you're a better quarterback than Drew Brees. I'll give the Saints, they probably have the better coach in Sean Payton. But when you look at the talent that you have, your defense is a very talented defense. The expectations were NFC championship.
Right.
Just the way that we look at Bill Belichick and say this year was a fail because he didn't make the playoffs is the same way we're going to look at Brady and go, this season was a fail because you weren't able to get to where we all expected you to get to.
You might have an argument if the Saints blow them out, but that's not going to happen. I mean, if this is a close game, which I anticipate that it will be, mm-hmm. I am picking Brady and Tampa in this game because I think it's tough to go 3-0 against a team, mm-hmm. and I think that Tampa is a different team than when they played the Saints before. Okay, but, I mean, if this is a well-played game and it's a shootout back and forth and Breeze ends up winning at the end of the day, I don't think you could say it's a fail for Brady.
How can you say it's
a... did Brady fail when they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles when he threw for 500 yards in the Super Bowl?
No. Brady didn't fail, but that team failed, right?
So, but you're saying if Brady loses in a close game to Breeze, he's failed.
Yes, and because of that team that he was a part of, right? And the narrative isn't going to be, Brady had a great game. And unless Brady has an Eagles game, right, where he goes out there and he throws for over 500 yards, then you could say, all right, well, you know what, maybe it wasn't all on Brady. But if he just goes out there and he has a good game, people are going to say, on the outside looking in, they're going to go, Brady couldn't win without Belichick.
See, I don't because know. We don't agree on that.
Because of it. Well, you expected this team to get to the NFC Championship.
Well, yeah, but the same day, but the way that they played – look at the way that Tom Brady is playing. I think that you just can't keep it as simple as that. Okay, if New Orleans blows out Brady, and that's not going to happen, mm-hmm. you might have an argument. You might get me to jump the fence. But, I mean, if he loses in a respectable fashion to the Saints and they go down to the wire, I mean, I'm looking at Bill, whose team right now, Jermaine, is terrible. Mm-hmm. Terrible. And then you're looking at where Brady's team is?
If Brady throws for 275 yards and two touchdowns and they lose...
What's the score?
Let's say the score is 28-23.
No, that's not a fail.
I don't see how a team that you expected to get to the NFC Championship game, you never expected New Orleans to be a better team than the Bucs when Brady signed there.
Well, because did we know Breeze back by then?
Yeah, Breeze was back, but Brady's a better quarterback.
I understand.
Breeze stinks in the playoffs.
Look, the advantage is coaching. We all know that.
Right, but...
Okay, it's coaching.
So it's the same way you need to look at the Brooklyn Nets. If they don't get to the NBA Finals, is it an epic fail?
For the Nets, yeah.
Okay.
I think it is. But I you always go back to the NBA, which I love you for dearly. Ryan Hannibal, WEI.com. Good article up there. Read it today. Brady, 18 touchdowns and 12 picks against winning teams over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's accurate, and it's a good point by Ryan. Means nothing to me in this game. You? Means nothing to me because it's Brady, because it's the playoffs, because they've been gelling at the end of the season.
Well, it means that he struggled against better opponents. I would look more at what New Orleans has done this year to the Tampa Bay team.
Okay.
That gives me more concern than anything because I think that the New Orleans Saints have a big piece of space that they got rented in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' head after the way that they beat them in both games. Both of those games weren't close, right?
No, they were not.
And so if you're the Bucs, you got to be thinking about that. And if you're New Orleans, you got to be thinking, we know that they believe in their mind they can't beat us. So that's something that concerns me a little bit.
So the way I look at the numbers here is in the Bucs in New Orleans, the Bucs defense is 21st against the pass. The Bucs, the New Orleans offense is 19th with the pass, but Breeze also missed some time. So Breeze has to win this game in the air.
Yeah. And the reason why I said that this is the biggest game of his career, because
Brady,
you just said it. He needs to go out there and have one of those Eagles performances, right? So where we look at it and go.
New Orleans defense good against the pass.
Where we look at it and go, oh, it wasn't Brady's fault. He threw for 350 yards. He had three touches. So the pressure he's got to put on himself for doing that. Because if he has a shaky game, I'm telling you, the narrative nationally is going to be Tom can't win without Belichick.
Well, I mean,
it's already that way.
The minority, I guess.
What's the narrative about Belichick right now?
Can't win without Brady.
So what do you think the narrative is going to be when they lose
It's got to be embarrassment. I mean, Wiggs, it's got to be an embarrassment. I don't see it happening. By the way, I'm picking Tampa in this game.
Yeah, no, I know you are. But the
are you?
I think the Saints have their number. I'm going with the Saints. But the pressure that Brady has on him, knowing that he has to win this game, he has to play well in this game.
He's great with pressure.
I'm not saying he's not, but that's the mindset that he has to have. So that means maybe he's trying to fit balls into a tighter window just because he knows. And I don't think he's looking at it like, all right, here's what the national narrative is going to be about this game.
He trust me, he's not.
Right. But all I'm saying is when you're in a position and you just left an organization that you took to the Super Bowl 9 times, you won 6 of them, the pressure for you to be successful and the next spot you go to, especially when that team is a team that was built around a lot of talented players. They brought in Leonard Fournette. You look at, they brought in Antonio Brown. When you look at that team on paper, now granted, it's all on paper, expectations are at least get to the NFC Championship.
Well, okay. At the beginning of the year, there were definitely some chemistry problems because as we've seen with the coach, you know, nice guy. Mm-hmm. He was a great story with Indianapolis when he took over as the head coach there, you know, as the interim head coach. Went to Arizona, didn't get it done. Where's the cap, Hawaiian shirts, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He's not a leader. Brady had to not only be the offensive coordinator, he had to be the head coach and he had to be the quarterback. And by the end of the year, he got it going. So they're peaking at the right time. He's got 4 guys and a quarterback and a running back, right? I mean, as you mentioned.
He's got 5 guys.
Okay, I mean, I was going to go Antonio Brown, Godwin.
Mike Evans.
Gronk. And then you got Fournette. And then Gronk is the 4th.
Scotty Miller's
okay,
not a bad
fine,
player.
Miller. So you got 5 guys and you got Fournette, the running back.
Right.
I mean.
And the kid Jones.
And they're playing. And they're aren't they a different team now?
Yeah, they are a different team.
So, I mean, I just.
So that's
Saints
even.
Are gonna, and it's indoors, which is going to help them.
So that's even more pressure because now it looks like they're clicking. They're hitting on all cylinders. Right? So now the expectations go, wait a second, this is a different team than week 1 or whenever week 8 when they played and they got the doors blown off of them. This is a different team. So now people, the expectation level even goes up higher. So now there's even more pressure.
See, you're talking about pressure and about external issues, which I think have no impact on Brady and makes him better.
No, I know. I
don't think it has anything to do with anything.
But as an athlete, you still deal with pressure. For somebody to say that they don't, they'd be lying to you. Or they don't think about certain things.
But that makes Brady better, doesn't it? You've been there.
I'm not saying it doesn't make him better. But it also makes you go, okay, I need to maybe do a little bit extra. I need to do a little bit of this. I need to, you know, fit a ball into that. And maybe I need to take a shot there. You know, especially depending on how the game's going, right? Let's say the game is like the Redskins game. When you look at that game, kind of started off slow, right? Well, like they just opened up and put their foot on the gas and they were flying out the door. Redskins were kind of hanging in there a little bit. It was like one of these games where it's like, oh, what's going on here? And then also,
but it was never in doubt.
I don't think it was ever in doubt because of Brady. But there were people, if you're a Redskins fan, you go, we got a chance to win this game. Right?
I guess.
And if there are Brady haters out there, you don't think that people go, wait a second.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're objective, I think if you're looking at it objectively, I never thought Brady was going to lose that game.
Well, you're not looking at it objectively.
Well, no, I am.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
Because if you were looking at it, you could look at that game. If you took off the glasses and go, wait a second, Washington's actually playing. They got an opportunity here. It wasn't like this game was a blowout. At one point, they were only down by 3.
Did you think Washington was going to win?
But I wasn't.
Come on, be honest.
I wasn't looking at it objectively. No, I didn't think Washington was going to win that game. But I wasn't looking at it objectively.
When I'm watching the Green Bay game, this is going through my head. Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yes.
Maybe the greatest player of all time, though, you know, when you have a Jim Brown out there, there's some other guys that were pretty good, too.
Right.
But when you look at Aaron Rodgers, you know, I sit there and I say, and it's a rhetorical question. I know why.
Mm-hmm.
How come he hasn't won more Super Bowls? And it's a damn shame he hasn't won more Super Bowls. We know why. You know, some people on Twitter had the answer. McCarthy's in Dallas. Team building. Maybe he lost interest a little bit, didn't have the guys around him. But it's hard to make the argument that Brady is a better or more talented quarterback than Aaron Rodgers.
But you're just talking about physical talent.
I'm just talking about quarterback ability.
But I don't know what quarterback ability is. Like, if you're saying physical talent.
Yeah, physical talent, because I understand mentally, no one is on Brady's level mentally when it comes to running a game, correct?
Right. There's no one on his level.
Does Rodgers ability or physical advantage make up for any of that? Boy, he looks so damn good.
Yeah, he looks good, but I think a lot of people get caught up in the physical measurables of a player, right? So he's got a little bit of like the play he made where he pump fake Floyd and he ran in it for a touchdown. People, Brady never does that. His ability to kind of roll out and make some plays on the run, Brady don't do that. But Brady kind of makes up for it in pocket presence, his ability to get rid of the football, the way he feels the pocket. To me, it's about the mental aspect of the game. And that's why Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. Rodgers don't have it. Breeze don't have it. Peyton Manning don't have it. So you could start to look at it and go, all right, you brought up a guy like Jim Brown, right? You know, physically, he might have been one of the greatest, physically. Is he a greater physical running back than Walter Payton or Barry Sanders, right? Then you start to look at those things. But to me, who is the better player? Who's the better player? And Brady is the better player. I don't get caught up in the pretty throws of running out of the pocket and throwing the ball across his body and making this. No, I look at the things that make Brady great, his ability to do it in crunch time, his ability to know that he can make that throw when everything else is around him falling apart, his ability to be able to lead a team down the field with 45 seconds on the clock, down by 4 points, and boom, go down and score a touchdown. Those are the things where Rodgers hasn't proven that yet. Now, I know there might be some things that you might say, well, it's his coach, it's his defense, and that's why. Look, it was the first thing when you put that out there about Rodgers. What did everybody say? It was his coach, right?
Right.
So now, that's why I said this game's so important for Brady, because now if he doesn't win, what are they going to say? It was the coach why Brady was part of the reason why he was successful. Because what would people say? Imagine if Aaron Rodgers was playing with Bill Belichick. He'd put up the same numbers of Brady, and he'd probably be better because physically he's better.
Yeah, well, I don't buy the coach thing with Green Bay. I think sometimes the coach in the NFL is an easy scapegoat. When you have the ability of Aaron Rodgers.
So then what do you think it is?
I thought it was the GM. I think that he didn't have the defense. There were some times that he had some really bad defenses. He's got the three.
But what about when the Patriots had some really bad defenses and won Super Bowls?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. Because if you take a look at the six Super Bowls, in my mind, I give Belichick Brady credit for the first three.
Right.
I throw Charlie Armitage in there too, if you've read my articles. Right. And I think Brady gets credit for the second three.
Right. They weren't always great defense. There was times where it was like Sterling Moore at cornerback.
There's no doubt.
And they
could great defense was in the first decade.
Right. So I ask you then, what is it with Aaron Rodgers? Because there were times when Aaron Rodgers had some pretty good defenses with Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson, some of those other guys. So what then is it? Because you're saying it's the GM, so that means you're saying that he don't have the pieces around him.
I think that the difference between Rodgers and Brady, and I do say Brady to me is the greatest player of all time. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's fine. Just like Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. The results are in the wins. I think what hurt Rodgers is his head. And it's not only mental.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only the schematic and the strategy of the game. I think he can be quite a DB. I think he can be a tool bag.
Okay.
I mean, I think sometimes that he can alienate players. I think he can be a pouter. I think that he can be a baby.
Right.
And Brady, while Brady is not a good loser,
right?
Brady, great locker room guy, right?
Right.
Great locker room guy. Rodgers, not the case.
So then there you go. You answered your question then. Forget about the physical tools. Brady's the better quarterback because of the fact that he might not be able to scramble and, make plays on the run with his legs. But those things aren't as important as the mental side of the game. That's why Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time.
All right, Brady, late game today. The Tampa Bay Bucs will take on the New Orleans Saints. And am I the only one in New England rooting for Tom Brady?
No, you and Curtis.
Oh, good. You put me in there with Curtis. Philadelphia's looking for a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And they've talking to a couple of New England Patriots. I want to get into that because I have an interesting take on that coming up. And again, Patriots are losing a lot to people still. This is NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance.
Cam Newton joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Okay, Packers-Bills both advanced to the conference championship games next week. Packers 32-18. Rodgers was unbelievable over the Rams. Bills First time they're in the AFC title game since 1994. The Browns will face off against Kansas City today. Tom Brady and Breeze, they go at it. Could be the final game of Breeze's career. Coverage for both games caught right here on WEEI following NFL Sunday. That begins at 2:30.
Do you buy that? That could be Breeze's last game?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, that's why I was just a talking head. Why did you write it then, damn it? Did you, Josh, you wrote this?
I wrote it at 6 a.m., Tang.
Josh, I'm Anchorman. Why'd you write it?
But, Josh, though, there are people out there that believe this could be his last game. I think he's one of those guys that potentially, because he's isn't he a free agent after this year?
I'll check on that.
I'm not sure.
He said, like a one-year deal, yeah, I think, for a lot of money.
Oh, man, he signed 2 years.
He was up. He doesn't know if he's going to play.
Right.
I think it was a two-year deal for a lot of dough.
Right.
But
there are a lot of people that think this could be his last year.
It depends. I mean, if he loses today, right, does he go out like this?
I don't know. Like, where Brady, no one thinks that this is his last year.
No, he's coming back. Right. I would say, if I were a betting man, I would say Breeze is back.
I would say.
He's locked up for next year.
Okay.
Yeah, right. They signed like a two-year deal for a lot of dough. Coverage for both games, as I said, right here on WEEI at 2:30 is when the coverage begins. Bruins OT loses yesterday against the Devils. They're back in action tomorrow evening against the Islanders. Celtics back in action today. They're going to play at 1 o'clock. So, Wiggy, you have to pay attention.
Looks like Kemba's going to play.
So, Kemba.
That's the report I saw out there.
Good.
How true that is. But
tip is at 1 o'clock. Accuracy, whatever. That's what's trending at WEEI and WEEI.com.
ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
NFL Sunday at Tangway and Wiggs. Again, if you want to jump on at 797-617-779, excuse me. Jesus, when did I get that, Tangway? 7937.
Try it again.
Did I screw it up again? Every time? 617-779-7937.
There you go.
Yeah, good boy. Josh Toronto on the other side of the glass, by the way. So I want to talk about the coaching carousel that's going on here with the NFL. You know, Josh McDaniels is going to get a chance with Philadelphia. Jerod Mayo went down to Philly. The coaching carousel continues. People continue to raid the Patriots, with whether it be Casario, who went to Houston, finally. And I got to talk to you about that. But now they may lose their offensive coordinator. They may lose their co-defensive coordinator. Though I think the feeling is that for Mayo, this is the first time around. It was kind of like Vrabel when he was with Houston. You know, he'd interview for the L.A. job, but he wasn't really going to get it. But don't be so sure. So a couple of things I want to cover here with Jay Wiggs on NFL Sunday is the first situation with Houston. Why did Bill all of a sudden, okay, now you can go talk to Houston, Nick Casario? Because Billy O'Brien was gone? So does that mean there's no way O'Brien becomes the offensive coordinator here if Josh leaves?
No, I don't really know. Like, I
that was weird.
Yeah, I don't really get that one. Maybe it's like, all right, Nick, I need you for one more year.
Didn't it happen to 2 years in a row?
But something along, I'm not sure if it was 2 years. Whenever it was that Easterby at the ring ceremony.
Right.
I don't really.
It was like 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I don't really know why Bill would kind of like put the brakes on.
See, I thought that the Easterby thing was the problem. Jack Easterby, who was the chaplain and also like the emotional, spiritual type of guru of the team, right? So he goes down to the Texans, and now he's become the executive vice president, and he has the ear of, you know, he has the ear of the owner, which is insane to me, right? Which, if I'm Casario, well, that's how Casario allegedly got the job. I'd still be concerned about that. But, I mean, I thought it would be Easterby who he would have the problem with. So he still wouldn't allow Casario to go. So all of a sudden, Casario gets to go to Houston. Maybe he has an extra ground with O'Brien. O'Brien's gone. That's the only way I could connect the dots. I'm guessing.
Maybe here it is. Like, maybe Casario didn't want to go there. And I don't know if he didn't want to go there because O'Brien was there and O'Brien had more power. And Casario.
Well, that definitely happened after he turned it down the first time.
Right. So maybe the fact that once O'Brien was gone, now he knew that he was going to get a lot more power as the GM versus if Billy O'Brien's still there, he doesn't have as much power. It's kind of like, you know, in the situation he is here in New England, right? Don't we all agree that Belichick is the guy with all the power?
Of course he is.
And Casario was kind of like, all right, his second in command.
Yeah.
If he goes to Houston at that time, I think people probably still feel like he's still the second in command to Billy O'Brien.
Yeah, but the first time around, I don't think O'Brien had the power. The second time around, maybe. So I think what you may be saying to me here is that he just made Bill be the bad guy and say, don't let me go.
Yeah.
So Bill, okay, well, that's fine. I mean, that could certainly happen.
Right, and then now, because when you think about it, when you look at the Texans, it almost looks like Casario now has all the power because regardless of, he is going to then hire the next head coach.
I find it fascinating. The Casario story I find fascinating because Pioli went to Kansas City and it didn't work out.
Right.
Right? Dimitroff goes to Atlanta.
Right.
I would say it worked out.
Yeah, they went to a Super Bowl.
They went to a Super Bowl. It worked out. He did a good job. So Bill Disciples, you want to say one for one in the front office? Right? What about Tennessee? Robinson.
Yeah, and then you would have, there's like
two for one.
Then there's the guy Bob Quinn in Detroit. Right, so
Mezza. So okay. So the Casario thing, because I mean he was Bill's right hand guy. Pioli, we know, was Bill's right hand guy. He goes to Kansas City, doesn't get it done. Casario thing I find is fascinating. That if Casario immediately has an impact on the draft and hits, I think that makes Bill look bad.
Well, I think what happens, it becomes not necessarily that Bill looks bad, but now guys that are in a position like his GMs, when they break away from Belichick, their voice matters way more than it would in New England.
Of course.
Right?
I mean, yes.
So I think that's what it becomes. It becomes these guys now have a voice. You know what I mean? It's like you want to be able to.
Well, they are the voice.
Well, yeah, right. Or even if you're not the voice, and I think a lot of the frustration with, and I don't know, these are just reports, a lot of the frustrations with some scouts and people that work in the front office.
Right.
Is that sometimes they don't have a voice when it comes to Belichick. They do all the scouting, then Bill goes, all right, I'm drafting this guy.
It's been documented.
Right. So now I think when they break away, whether it's Dimitroff, whether it's, you know, Quinn, whether it's, you know, all those guys that break away, now it's like, okay, now if I want this guy, I can get this guy. And I think that's what you're kind of seeing. Now Casario's in a position where he's going to have that ability to do that.
I think it's fascinating to watch. It's not only, I mean, Bill is such in a position for scrutiny here. With Brady, if Brady wins today in your eyes, mm-hmm. I think he's already won, as I've written at WEEI.com. But if Brady plays well, gets to the NFC title game, again, doesn't look good for Bill. If Casario goes down to Houston, all right, smokes the peace pipe with Deshaun Watson, they settle in. He hits on some draft picks. They start doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, doesn't look good for Bill. It's fascinating to see. What I don't understand, Jermaine, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, what doesn't look good for Bill more? I think the thing that doesn't look good for Bill, the Bob Quinn, the Demetrios, I don't think that's really a huge reflection on Bill. I think it's more about the coaches. When the coaches go other places and fail, whether it's the Matt Patricias, whether it's the Josh McDaniels, whether it's the Billy O'Briens, right?
Right.
When those guys go other places and fail, I think that's more of the negative look on Bill Belichick.
I disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. I don't think that's a bad look for Bill because Bill wants lieutenants. And I think those guys are first lieutenants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rack. I've met him a couple times. You know him.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful man, right? I mean, Romeo Crennel.
Yeah.
Wonderful man. Just the greatest guy. Not a head coach.
Right, but
But Charlie Weiss, mm-hmm. okay? I worked with Charlie a little bit. He's a character. Not a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill has had excellent lieutenants. It worked for him.
Right, but everybody, when you think of the Bill Belichick coaching tree,
right.
Everybody knocks him for
But I don't think that's his fault.
I'm not saying it's his fault, right? But the narrative and
right.
the view of people think, don't hire Belichick guys because they can't get the job done. The only one that looks like they could, the only one that looks like, you know, positive, like if you're going to, you know, if we say this, is probably Brian
Flores. Yeah, Miami. Absolutely.
Right, but every other guy that was under Belichick as an assistant coach and became a head coach, they're always like, oh.
Yeah, but see, I think that's not a reflection on Bill, in my opinion.
But when there's been numerous discussions about
right.
that before.
I mean, because Bill's job is not to groom head coaches. Bill's job is to assemble a staff that helps him win football games, which he's done. So he has great first lieutenants, which works well for him because he's an egomaniac.
All right, so then a guy like Bill Walsh doesn't get the credit for guys like
Seifert.
Like Bill Walsh, who like groomed like Holmgren
yeah.
and some of those other coaches that were part of the, you know, they always do the Bill Walsh, Bill
yeah.
Belichick coaching tree. So we don't give Bill Walsh credit if those coaches are successful.
I mean, I give the coaches credit. I mean, Jermaine, that's a good point. I just never looked at it that way.
So then you're an anomaly then is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's unfair to put that on Bill. It's not Bill's job.
Mm-hmm.
To groom a head coach. It's Bill's job to have great assistants, and we know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to look at where all those guys had been. But, like, when it comes to the San Francisco coaching tree, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
Gruden had been in Philadelphia. He had been in Green Bay. And then with San Francisco, some of those guys, I mean, had they been with other organizations? The thing with Bill is if you're an assistant, you're generally with this organization, and that's it. I mean, Bill gets guys when they're 21, 22 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he grooms them to be his assistant. Like Josh was making photocopies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Pioli, right? Mayo was a player. His son, even Steve. I mean, all of Bill's guys. He never, like Dom Capers was here for a year in case Bill got suspended, right? But
uh-huh.
He was never going to make him defensive coordinator. So my point is Bill's assistants have always been groomed the way he wants them to work for him. I don't know if that's the case with Bill Walsh. So I think it's unfair to dock Bill for that.
I'm not saying that it's fair to knock him for that. All I'm saying is then when we're talking about like a Bill Walsh or we're talking about a Bill Belichick and we're talking about their coaching tree, it's unfair to knock him and then also – it's not right to give him credit.
It's overrated.
Overrated.
Fine. I'll say it's overrated I'll say it's overrated because you know what? Gruden's a hell of a coach. I don't know what the hell's going on in Oakland. I mean, with Vegas. I mean, look, when Gruden had Tampa, when he had Oakland, Gruden can coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anybody says. You know, I mean, he can coach. Holmgren can coach.
Right.
You know, so again, I don't think you want to give. I think I give credit to the coach.
Okay, all right.
So I'm going to knock Charlie Weiss. I'm going to knock Romeo Crennel, and I'm going to give Holmgren and Gruden credit. Or I'm trying to think of some of the other guys that came out of that. Mooch came out of there.
Yeah,
Mooch
Andy Reid, Bill, Brian Billick, John Gruden. There's a list of guys.
I mean, Reid's a great coach.
Yeah.
I mean, now that he's got a quarterback, right? I mean, now, you know, everybody used to knock Andy Reid. I mean, if Andy Reid had Tom Brady for 6 Super Bowls, how would that go?
Right.
You know, so.
So
I think it's overrated.
Right, yes. But that's why I said I think you're more of the, you're more.
I'm alone.
Yeah, you're more the unicorn in this situation because most people, what they like to do is they go, all right, Bill Belichick is coaching tree.
Right.
Look at all these guys that failed. Yeah. Hit, you know, why would you want to hire Bill Belichick guy that was on his
staff? That's different. That's a different argument.
Well,
I don't know if I would hire a Bill Belichick guy.
Why, if it's the coach?
Because again, okay, fine, but I'm not blaming Bill for that.
So, but why would you not want to hire a Bill Belichick guy?
Because I think Bill grooms guys to be his assistant. They're in the system. And there are also guys that are subservient. Let's face it. I mean, everybody talks about Bill being this guy that wants to have this pushback and all these arguments. Mm-hmm. Really?
So
I mean, how often does that? Does he really want that?
So then you think that other coaches groom guys to be head coaches?
No, I'm not saying that. It's not.
Because I'm kind of confused.
I know you are.
One side of your mouth, you're saying, don't knock Belichick for poor coaches.
No,
but then on the other
I'm
side, you're going,
him.
I wouldn't hire Belichick guys.
All right, well, we're going to break. Listen, I am going to. No. I'm trying to be as clear as I can.
Well, you're not doing a good job.
I think I might be.
I don't think so.
I don't know, Wiggs.
I'm confused.
I wanted to talk about Gerard Mayo and Josh McDaniel.
We're going to do that next. Him.
Yeah, oh, I'd hire. No, we got to get to Mayo. I want to get to that next. And I'm also going to reiterate what I said. It's not Bill Belichick's fault that his assistants have sucked as head coaches. Sports Radio WEEI. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. I'm sorry, Josh.
It's all right.
This edition. Hang on, I got to put on the announcer voice.
Put it on.
Gary Owens. This edition of NFL Sunday is presented by Kaplansky Insurance.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Northeast Electrical, and Zudy.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEI.
This is NFL Sunday. Tagway and Wiggs here. Obviously, there seems to be some confusion with my logic.
Yes.
What I was saying, and I was extremely clear, I mean, Josh... Break the tie. Am I not being clear?
To be honest, yeah. I thought you were being clear. I thought you were being clear enough.
Okay.
Oh, enough.
Enough.
And you know what? He's couching it.
All right.
That he doesn't have the balls to tell me no. He's couching it.
So
right, no. So here's my point.
I can see both sides. I don't have the balls.
Take a stand, Josh.
I'm seeing both sides. I could see why Wiggy would be confused, but at the same time, I understand.
Okay. All right.
Let me just say this. Go ahead.
It's not Bill Belichick's fault
that his
assistants have failed as coaches.
Okay, all right. I understand that. It's not his fault when they fail. But would you hire Bill Belichick assistants?
No.
Why?
Because they're great assistants. They're not great head coaches. And that's why, and that's the genius of Bill. He hires and grooms great assistants.
Right, but
let's
then I ask you this. Okay, yeah. He hires and grooms great assistants. But then I ask you about Bill Walsh. Do you think Bill Walsh hires and coaches guys to be head coaches or be great assistants?
I think to be great assistants, and the credit needs to go to the coaches who have done well after him,
right, so,
not Bill Walsh.
So it's about what the coach does, not about the coach he was under as an assistant coach.
Yes.
Okay. But you won't hire Belichick assistants because he grooms them to be great assistants. So then who do you hire?
This is what I feel about Belichick assistants. He kidnaps them at a young age. No, I'm kidding. He kidnaps them at a young age and he brainwashes them. And then he locks them in the basement. But he does. If you look at every Belichick assistant, I think Dean Pease is the only one, right? I mean, didn't Pease come from the outside? Came as a linebacker's coach, head coach with other teams. It didn't work out. He went to the Ravens. But if you take a look at what Bill does, you're 21, 22 years old, and you get coffee, and you make your way up.
Right.
And that's what he does. And you only know one way.
Right.
The Bill way.
Right.
And I think to a degree he does like some yes men, and that's the way it is. But I also think, and this is not Bill's fault either. I also think under the shroud of Bill Belichick, the head coach, the greatest coach in the history of any game, in my opinion, it's very difficult to develop your own personality and have your own way. I think Flores did it. I think Flores is a rarity, too, because he played.
Okay.
I mean, Flores played at BC, and if he didn't get hurt, he might have played in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these other guys are brainiacs.
Okay.
You know, they played at small schools. They come in, and they learn the Bill Belichick way.
Okay.
That's what I think.
So you think because...
And that's not Bill's fault.
So you think because they don't go elsewhere, that's why they're not good head coaches?
Yeah, I think because they've become... They are groomed by Bill from a young age on and to do it his way. They don't have the independent thought process as being at other organizations.
Okay.
Like I was at this organization, I'm going to steal something from him. I got this organization, I'm going to steal something from him. But that's not Bill's fault. I mean, it's worked for him.
Okay. So.
Is that clear? Josh, is that clear?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Well, then when you think of, like, see, here's where I'm confused. Because Mike Holmgren just coached under Bill Walsh.
He did.
And then he became a head coach. He didn't go nowhere else.
Right. Was he just with the Niners?
He was the offensive coordinator.
Where was he before that?
He was before the Niners. He was the offensive coordinator for the Niners, the San Francisco 49ers in 1989, 90, and 91. And then he became the head coach at the Green Bay
Packers.
Where
was he before he was the OC?
I mean, I don't know where he's probably, he's probably chasing donuts around.
Well, no, I mean, we can look it up.
Yeah, but
did Bill Belichick, did Walsh get this guy when he was 20, get Holmgren when he was 21 years old and put him to work in the Niners office? I don't know. Let me look.
However old he was in 1998, maybe tells you what he was probably doing prior to that. But I think it's about the coach. I don't think you have to go to multiple places to be a successful head coach, right? Because when you start...
No, we agree on that, Wiggs.
But I don't think Bill Belichick... if you're under the assumption that it's about Bill Belichick's assistants are not meant
to... Okay, here we go. Just hang on. He was a high school coach. He was a high school coach. This is Holmgren, and this is a rarity.
Right.
But he was a high school coach, three different places. He coached at San Francisco State.
Right.
He coached at BYU as the quarterback's coach.
Okay.
Okay. And then he went to work at the Niners as the quarterback's coach. He had coached for other coaches. He had been a head coach.
Oh, wait a second. So now you're going to say because a guy was a high school coach, that counts, or he's coached at some Division III school?
BYU's not a Division III
school. No. I'm saying San Francisco State or whatever.
Fine. But he wasn't in just the home, the the Bill Walsh
well,
program.
Well, that's and you look at the Belichick program, as most of these guys went, like a guy like Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, come out of college, you're going to work for him.
Right, he went straight there. You don't think he could have been a high school coach at damn,
yes,
you know, New Jersey Technical High School?
I do. That's not the argument. The argument is he worked for one guy, Bill Belichick.
But a lot of these coaches, you know, when they're young, a lot of these coaches kind of do the same thing. You know, they work for one guy. But then again, you said you would hire Gerard Mayo.
I know. I haven't even had a chance to get to that.
But I this is why I'm so confused.
Well, no. I mean,
you don't hire assistants that coach on the Belichick.
Right.
But yet.
Well, I didn't get to make that point because you've been killing me on this.
All right. So would you hire Mayo?
Well, here's the question that I was going to pose before you and I went down this rabbit hole.
Okay.
Is would you hire Josh McDaniel or would you hire Mayo to be the Eagles head coach? I think Bieniemy is the hot Bieniemy's the hot guy, mm-hmm. right? Everybody wants Bieniemy, fine. Okay, but if you're looking at Josh McDaniel or Gerard Mayo, who would you want as the Eagles head coach? I would take Mayo.
I'm unlike you, I'm not so worried about McDaniels not being successful his next go-round. So I wouldn't have a problem hiring McDaniels either. So I would hire McDaniels. I would hire. I don't necessarily. I probably wouldn't hire Mayo just yet. Because how do you hire a guy
right.
that hasn't called a, like, isn't a defensive coordinator? I've never seen anybody go from a position.
Didn't he call the defense when he was a linebacker?
Didn't the Packers do it with LaFleur? Wasn't he never like an actual coordinator and they hired him to be a head coach?
No, because wasn't he the offensive coordinator for Sean McVay with the Rams?
Oh, look, I thought he was a QB coach.
You know, I haven't seen, it's very rare for a guy to go from position coach to head coach.
And I have a point on that, and I will tell you that coming up in the next. I want to get this guy in real quick.
Okay.
And hold that thought, Wiggy, because that's our topic for the next hour. Okay, Sean, real quick in Connecticut. Sean, you're on WEEI. You have a comment on the Bill coaching tree.
I do. And, Wiggy, one thing that you have to think about is there's an exception to every rule. Mm-hmm. You're killing Gary on, he would hire Gerard Mayo. Yes, of course, there's exceptions. I've hired a lot of people in my life, and if I was always hiring from the same company and those people were failing,
right.
I would rethink that. And that's what happens. It's not Bill's fault. I think Gary's got it. He's, you know, again, Gary, you're doing a pretty good job, but here's maybe what can help. It's not Bill's fault mm-hmm. that he has a system that he is in complete control over, okay? But it works for him, right. and his guys, this is just radio talk guessing here, they can't freelance. Maybe with Bill Walsh or you know, one of these, Jimmy Johnson, mm-hmm. if those guys were allowed to freelance just a little bit, and as Gary said, grab their identity. And you know what? That's not crediting, you know, Bill Walsh with their success. That's ridiculous. You know, this whole idea that the tree is so important, but in the fact that it's a fact, you've got case after case of Patriots assistants failing as head coaches. There's an exception, yes. Mike Vrabel's doing a great job, but he wasn't ever a coach.
But right, here's another point, Sean, though. Sean, thank you for the phone call, but I'm up against it. Thank you for calling. Vrabel went to Ohio State, was a position coach there, went to the Texans, was a linebacker coach, was a defensive coordinator. His assistants suck as head coaches, and I'm not giving Bill Walsh credit because his assistants were great coaches. It has to do with the individuals. All right, you're listening to NFL Sunday presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, Kaplansky.com. By Zooty, build any app your company needs fast. Visit Zooty.com for details. By Northeast Electrical and by the New England Recovery Center of Westboro. We are going to continue this conversation. Gerard Mayo, Josh McDaniels, head coach. That's coming up next on Sports Radio WEEI.